September 27th, 1942. I want something of hers. There's a teacup downstairs, the last one she used before she died. She didn't finish her chicory coffee that morning, and what she left stained the porcelain in a faint ring. Her lipstick remains smudged in red letter red along the rim. It's been 3 weeks, and I still haven't been able to wash it away. But I shouldn't choose the teacup. Nothing fragile is going to survive today.
Ayla?
Cass opens my bedroom door, her white blonde hair pinned up in a plait, her wide eyes darker than normal.
Your father says I can come with you to the train station, but we have to leave in 5 minutes.
I'll be ready, I say softly. I would be more worried about Miles. She nods and disappears back into the hallway. Her footsteps fall on creaking boards, and then the house returns to its solemn hush, so quiet you can almost hear the dust settle, as if we have all already left it. 5 minutes. I go to my parents' room. It's been tidied since the last time I was here, the day of my mother's memorial. Now the bed is made. All the flowers have been cleared away. Her vanity is free of her compacts, and even the precious glass vial of joy perfume she always displayed but hardly ever wore. I open her drawers, run my fingertips over her jewelry, but it's all tangled and gaudy, and I want to leave it there, just as she left it, as if she could come in at any moment and clip on her big ugly earrings, as bright and jagged as suns. I turn to the bookshelf. It, too, has been sorted, but I prefer the way it used to look, when the books were all jumbled and wedged in at odd angles, threatening to fall onto my feet. My eye catches a large leather volume, its spine dwarfing all the others. I've never seen it before. I kneel down in front of it, my knees finding the threadbare place where the rug has worn almost through to the floor. I pull out the book and flip through the pages. They whisper against my fingers, thin and delicate, like moth wings. It is Shakespeare, a collection of his plays and poems, and my mother's handwriting is everywhere in it, littering the margins and cluttering the white gaps between sentences in different colored ink. The pages are yellowing, as if Mother has had this book for a long time. I wonder where it's been hiding until now. An envelope is taped to the back cover. It is blank and unsealed, and there is a note inside.
Ayla? Miles?
Father's voice rings out from the kitchen. Coming, I call back. The note was written recently. I can tell by the way her handwriting shakes, like it did when she was nearing the end. It says, Stefan, you will find what you asked for within this. I will always love you. Your Viola. My attention snags on the two names, because the first one does not belong to my father, and the second, though it is definitely my mother's handwriting, was not her name. My mother was the other well-known Shakespeare heroine, the one who also died young. Juliet.
Ayla,
my father calls again. This time, it's more of a warning. Leave it, I think. You don't even like Shakespeare. And maybe I don't want to know who this Stefan is. I put the book back on the shelf and decide that I want the teacup. It is my mother just as I remember her, safe and familiar, and it is still marked by her touch. I'll bring it even if I have to hold it on my lap, cupped in my hands like a butterfly for the entire journey. I hurry down the narrow stairs, which seem to slope more and more to the right each year. I've never lived anywhere but this house, which we fondly call the tilt, and I know just where to place my hand on the banister to keep my balance, and where to step so the stairs don't creak. When I reach the landing, I hear my next-door neighbor, Mrs. Reed. She's in the kitchen with Father, taking final instructions for watching over the tilt while we're gone. She's opening drawers and closing them. And I'm sure she's the one who organized my mother's books.